It's GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, over here, that is Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. And with us, as always, from ESPN 1000. I should say, as always, he had a nice little vacation last week. So we welcome back to the show. So, from ESPN 1000, he is John. Happy week, boys. We have made it. We are here. I know we got SmackDown tomorrow night, but there's the Ring of Honor show that's going to be tomorrow night, SmackDown, Hall of Fame, all these other different things happening tomorrow. WWE announced what nights the different matches are going to be, whether it's going to be. We know what night, what matches are going to be. My question to you to start this, of those matches that we now officially know are happening on the WrestleMania card, have the potentials?
Well, when we take a look at the five-star potential at WrestleMania, first of all, we have to kind of rewind of all this build that we've had for WrestleMania. So let me get this straight, guys. So no Stone Cold,
right?
No AJ Styles,
right?
Let's see, no Batista. Correct. To get his Hall of Fame plaque. Let's see, we don't get Rock versus Roman. We Correct. Get no Orton. Okay, so we don't get that. And then from there, we get no Bray Wyatt because Brock didn't want to work with Bray until Bray went home. And then we don't get Bobby Lashley in a singles or a tag team match. Otherwise, this is a great WrestleMania.
Lashley gets the Andre Battle Royal. He's a shot for that trophy. Didn't you see how excited he was?
Yeah, exactly. So
bad for Bobby. He just serves, like, how are you, if you're Triple H, how do you not on this card? Bobby has been one of those guys that has been able to carry Monday Night for the last 3 years. Bobby's been one of your main guys. And because the guy he was supposed to work with has, if he's going to be able to wrestle or not, it falls through. And now Bobby has to wrestle on Friday.
Yeah,
that should not be the case, bro. That should not be the case. The idea that Bobby Lashley, who was just getting ready to match up against Bray Wyatt, now he doesn't have a dance partner. That's just very tough. I just think it's very tough. And I just think that they have kind of pieced this together for just once it's in the ring, it's going to be fine. But the whole build for this, I can't wait to see the documentary for this because there's a story to tell with all of this.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. I mean, it's 13 total matches. Like, it is weird they don't throw the Battle Royal on, like, a pre-show anymore just to get those guys, you know, on the Mania stage. Like, SmackDown's not the same. Like, yes, it's the night before. But, like, this is the first year, to me, you look at it and you're like, do we really need two nights? Like, can't we just consolidate it, just do 8 to 10 matches and call it one night? Because this card and this build, you have the Bloodline storyline, you have the Mysterio storyline, and then you have some matches thrown together. I mean, like, what do you remember from the Bianca and Asuka buildup? What's your most memorable moment from that feud so far?
Yeah.
Anything?
I guess anything? Probably no? the mouthwash coming out of Asuka's mouth, the Crest toothpaste, whatever that is. I think that's, I'll remember that.
Hey, let's show some respect for the green mist, shall we?
It's aqua. Very odd colors coming out of her mouth. I'm not sure what that is. But it is true. But what do we always say on GKW? Once it's in the ring, it's going to be fine.
Sure.
I would love to know. You know what I'd love to know, Gabe? I want to know if there's a wrestling fan that ignores Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, right, Rampage, and just are in for the pay-per-views. Because ultimately, you might, more times than not, a wrestling fan could be disappointed with, I would say, 60% of builds for matches. That's what I wonder. Are there wrestling fans who's like, I'll just wait for the big event?
Not wrestling fans, PLE, you know, premium live event. But there's some casual, like, I've got a buddy who's been casually pays attention. He's not going to tune into Raw or SmackDown tomorrow night or any of those things. And then that's like just for wrestling. Mania, right? Like, and that is, to me, such a rare, have been paying attention at least peripherally to Raw or SmackDown to these.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about, we've talked about the lack of build. Like, I think you can just drop in for a Mania. You're going to get a video package and, you know, Bianca, Oscar, you get a 3-minute video package that hypes up that match, that hits the few main points that there are. I can't name any of them. And it seems like a big deal to where if you're just dropping in for Mania, SummerSlam, Rumble, I don't think you need to watch every week, especially when there is the lack of the build. Like, the build is going to give us the payoff of Sammy winning the tag titles. But, like, other than that, like, just watch the video package and you're caught up. And then you're, you know, enjoy the 6-hour show this weekend. Twice.
You said twice. You just dropped that in, yes.
But a 6-hour show? I mean, we don't have... I mean, so night one, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 6 matches on night two. Like, I don't know how long WrestleMania Sunday can be dragged out with only... one of those being by... By the way, Brock Lesnar versus Omos, which is going to be 3 minutes max.
I'm still shocked that's still on the card, and that's not just, you know, a rib.
Yeah. Absolutely. But to answer the question directly, like how many potential 5-star matches that we have? Okay, so I'll say that Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley is going to, it may steal WrestleMania, quite frankly. I mean, especially on the women's side. So that would be one. I checked off Usos and Zayn and Owens. Yep. I know it's old school, but there was a time where tag team matches are so good that they would be the main event. This has been built up so well that Zayn and Owens against Usos, when Zayn and Owens win, the roof, if there was a roof, it would just blow the top off of it, because people want to see Sammy and Owens win. They want to see the Usos. It's funny, we talk about Roman Reigns and when he got to take the tiles off of them, no one says that about the Usos, but once the championships are off of them, I think that people will enjoy that. That's two, and of course Roman and Cody would make three. All the rest of these, I'm not sure if I could say 5-star match potential.
See, I was able to get up to 4. I have those two. I don't have Roman and Cody. Like, I think it'll be a good match, and we know Cody will deliver, and Roman always delivers in those big moments. I don't know if it's going to be one of those matches that you look back and like, man, I can't wait to watch that one again. The other two I throw in, I think the IC title, we know what it's going to be like. It's going to be a chop fest. It's going to be physical. There are going to be red chests. But that'll be a good match.
It's not going to be a Meltzer 5-star match, right? But it's going to be dainties of hearts, because there are going to be some stiff shots exchanged, and I can't.
That is true. The other one I'll throw out from my perspective, mainly because I trust the women in the match, is the 6-woman match. Becky, Lita, and Trish versus Damage Control. I trust all 6 of those to go out there and deliver. Whether or not they get time to deliver a great match is obviously up in the air. But if they get some time to work, that could be a fun match with those 6 in the ring.
Yeah, I keep reading that we got to wait for this Trish turn. And it's kind of like, yeah, I'm not waiting for a Trish turn.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I want Trish turn. I want her to have her WrestleMania payday and then go back to Toronto. That's what I want. I mean, it just goes to show you guys that there's a lot of talent in this company. But all of them are not being showcased. You have 2 nights, and you still can't find a way to get the Street Profits on the main card doing something. Shows you how, once again, you're behind the times when it comes
to tag team wrestling. They called it a showcase match. That's not enough for you?
No, that's just bad branding. That's bad branding. That's what that is. Like, you can't find a way to get those guys on there. I mean, it's just... these showcase matches, the women's showcase match, like a Shotzi Blackheart's in one. Is that something that Natty?
Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are one team. Natalya and Shotzi. Ronda and Shayna. How about that? Ronda just thrown in that match. And then Sonya and Chelsea Green, which I'm excited for Chelsea Green to get that moment.
Yeah. There were supposed to be some with Ronda, but then she had like the injuries, so they didn't know if she's going to be able to go. But look, they couldn't make that happen for Bobby Lashley. Funny how that happens. What about Rollins?
But like Lashley being in one of these matches, like you want him into some random tag team?
Lashley in a random tag team? I don't want to see that.
No. Exactly. So like, I feel like there really is no other solution because they don't know how to book anything or build anyone up. Like, We're going to throw him to Dolph again? Like, just do that? Hey, Dolph, you got a Mania moment.
Cool. Cool. They did it for him, the IC title for one night before they made him lose it on the Raw after WrestleMania a few years back at this point. Why doesn't Dolph deserve a moment in the sun?
I mean, he does.
Oh, no, he doesn't deserve a moment because John Cena says he can't get a moment anymore. That's why. Because John Cena says, yeah, you know what? You're bad. I mean, could you imagine the influence of Cena ruining Dolph Ziggler? I can't say ruin his career because Ziggler's a millionaire, you know, probably four or five times over. But just the idea that all the guy ever wants to do is just put on a great match, put on, you know, have a show, you know, maybe carry the company. And he had the opportunity to do that. He got hurt. It was some BS in the back. And all of a sudden, Ziggler's persona non grata. Like, he can't. I mean, he's just a carpenter now. It's amazing. That guy could be in the middle of WrestleMania doing something, but Cena says no.
I did look because I was curious after he jobbed out on Monday. It has been 8 months since he's got a pinfall victory on Monday Night Raw.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why he went into stand-up comedy.
Right. That's him in L.A. this weekend. He'll have shows going.
Making the tours. Yeah, making the to be heavily featured this week at WrestleMania is Rey Mysterio. Obviously, he's also going to the Hall of Fame tomorrow night after SmackDown. We had an opportunity here on GKW to catch the three-time champ, Rey Mysterio.
And we are excited here on GKW to be joined by a man who's going to have a very busy weekend. Not only is he going to be wrestling on Saturday or Sunday, he is also going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame on Friday night. He is Rey Mysterio Jr. Rey, let's go ahead and start with the Hall of Fame. When this whole thing started, when you came over from WCW to WWE after the acquisition, did you ever imagine that this would be a possibility that one day you would be going into the WWE Hall of Fame?
No, obviously it's a desire that one eventually wants to be a part of, you know, hoping that you did enough to have the honor to be inducted. And I've always thought that it would be really cool if one day, just one day after I retire, I would get to be part of the legends that paved the way for us, you know. And then here we are, days away, while still being active. You know, it's shocking, man. It's mind-boggling, and it's so surreal that it hasn't hit me yet, and I don't think it will. I think it'll take some time, maybe even till after I retire, it'll really hit me. But because I'm still ongoing, you know, but it's an incredible honor for me. It's one of those final treasures that you're seeking for.
Rey, when you go through the business, any business, you always have goals and aspirations. What were some of your goals and dreams as a young wrestler coming up in the business?
You know, a lot of people sometimes do certain things for the money, you know, do it for the fame. For me, from day one, I just wanted to be like my uncle. I wanted to be able to put on a mask and some tights and be called a luchador, a wrestler, you know, and that has always been my passion from day one. Just didn't know what came with the world of professional wrestling, the responsibilities, the beatings. Yes, I knew those came with it, except, you know, at a very young age. But overall, you know, my desire has always been one thing and one thing only, to be the best at what I'm doing, you know. And I think over time, my sacrifices, my hard work, my dedication, my love, blood, sweat, and you name it, for this sport has always been at 1,000%. And I think that's when you put all of that in perspective, the reflection of that is, look, you're being given this huge honor to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And you go, wow, I've made it. Like, I thought I'd made it before because I was in WWE, but now I've made it, like, way beyond that.
your style of wrestling when it came to the States and bingo halls across the country. It was innovative. It was something most fans hadn't seen. Now, as you watch pro wrestling, how crazy is it for you to see the influence you have on so many wrestlers in today's generation?
It's awesome. It's really awesome to be able to say that I was one of the pioneers that kind of opened up in a way that style of wrestling, you know, and very thankful for guys like the Kevin Nashes and the Scott Halls, you know, that I was able to work with in WCW that gave me the opportunity for people to believe in smaller guys, not only because of my style, but because of my height. You know, I broke that stereotypical type of what a wrestler should look like. I don't think anybody else during that time was given the opportunity. So the fact that I was Hispanic, the fact that I was wearing a mask, and the fact that I was doing the style of wrestling that I have been doing for the past 34 years, you know, piled up in one, it was incredible, man. And to see now the young bloods that are putting in the work, you know, I see Ricochet and I go, oh my God, I thought I was pretty good at what I do. And he does things flawless, you know, incredible.
So when you look back and look at what's been already a Hall of Fame career, and I know you still have more out in front of you, what have been some of the favorite moments or storylines that you've been able to tell in your wrestling career?
Definitely loved, and I'm taking you way back to when Dominic was 7 years old, the Eddie and Ray story, you know, for the custody of Dominic. That whole story kind of, it's very special to me because that, I believe, in a way, opened up Dom's vision and his heart to being who he is now. You know, his passion was hidden for the sport, and he really didn't come to show it until the age of 19. You know, before that, played football his whole life and never pushed him once to try and step into a ring to see if he liked it. No, it came organically, and to see his growth now has been incredible. The storyline that I had with Kurt Angle coming into WWE for the first time, my first pay-per-view, SummerSlam against Kurt Angle, I think is one of the highlights of my career. Enjoyed very much working Kurt and love him to death. You know, and along there was so many ups and downs, being part of the SmackDown 6, along with Edge, Eddie, Chavo, you know, Benoit and Kurt Angle as well. You know, we just... there's just so much talent and so much knowledge to learn from all of these guys.
Ray, you know, when we go through life, sometimes we have ups and downs and try to figure out how to be able to overcome, you know, left turns that happen in our career. So I was thinking about your time in WCW when you had to unmask. How are you able to overcome that change in your career?
The fact that when I signed with WWE, they wanted the Rey Mysterio with the mask. And, of course, I understood that was for marketing purposes. But at the same time, I was like, yes, I'm coming back with the mask. Like, I didn't even think it was possible. Like, that gave Rey Mysterio a rebirth. And during the time in WCW when I lost the mask, I honestly believe that if I wouldn't have lost the mask, the Giant Killer wouldn't have been born. And I probably wouldn't have faced the Scott Nortons, the Bam Bam Bigelows, or the Kevin Nashes. You know, that was kind of my breakthrough to be able to be the underdog in the fight, you know, against the Giants. And I think that kind of, maybe I could be wrong, opened up the vision in Vince's or WWE's eyes to say, we can do something right over here, because there was no talent my size that were given opportunities like the one that they've given me over the past 20 years.
Along those lines, in terms of opportunity, who are some of the guys that you look at now and say they just need that opportunity and then they'll have that sort of breakout success that you've had?
Yeah, definitely Ricochet is one of the guys that I've enjoyed working with. Had the opportunity to work with him for a while when I was away from WWE, you know, and enjoyed very much his style. I can't believe how incredibly athletic he is, and how in shape he looks. You know, he has so much passion for this sport. And the fact that other Hispanics are also jumping on board, like Dragon Lee, who's part of NXT right now, Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, Santos Escobar, and the Legado del Fantasma. Like, these are all young talent that are hungry. And not to say that any other talent isn't hungry. They're all very hungry. And everyone just wants to be given the opportunity. You just have to make sure that when that opportunity comes, that you're ready for it and you take advantage.
Ray, we certainly appreciate the time. Congratulations, and I'm looking forward to seeing you go in on Friday night. Also looking forward to seeing you wrestle your son, Dominic, on Saturday or Sunday at WrestleMania in Hollywood.
Thank you very much, guys.
Great to be able to talk to Rey Mysterio, an inductee for the WWE Hall of Fame. Of course, he's taking on his son, Dominic Mysterio. And
Which we found out will be a Saturday night, night one, Dominic versus Rey.
Yes, that's updated now that he's going to be Saturday night. So, you know, and, you know, we talked about what could be a five-star match. You know, Dominic Mysterio, I give full credit, and I don't mind being wrong, and definitely was wrong about Dom. When he first came into the WWE, you said, okay, this guy, weak on the mic, and you know, didn't think much of him. You talk about a metamorphosis over a year. Brian, I mean, this guy here is someone who I believe that could beat Rey, as a matter of fact, at WrestleMania, just based on the spoken word. Is his action in ring gotten better? Somewhat. But I think that the promo and the spoken word against Rey, against his mom, against his sister, got him over.
Yeah, the promos work, the character work, like the prison thing, like it's been great. That one is one of the ones I'm sort of interested in. I don't know if it's going to be an amazing match. Rey will obviously do most of the lifting. But I feel like Dominic has to go over there. Like if Rey wins, that's sort of it for all the Dominic momentum. Because then all of a sudden, like, oh, all this talk, like, hey, you don't want to face me. And then Rey wins is like, what does Dominic have to stand on after that? Like, Dominic, I feel like, has to go over, and that might be the beginning of the end of Rey, who said he's still wrestling, but sort of felt like, you know, he's on the way out, and this Hall of Fame sort of signified that.
You know, there's something to be said about the masked wrestler over the years, right? A masked wrestler, especially if you didn't see him unmasked, the old school would be the masked wrestler would shower with his mask on, he'd go to the airport with his mask on. And of course, somehow, some way, TSA at the time would allow the masked wrestler to go through. Hey, I'm Mil Mascaris. I don't have to take the mask off, right? Yeah, all good. So just think about that. You're kayfabing the entire time. And because wrestlers kept the mask on, Brian, you never knew the age of some of these guys, right? And so for Rey, in my mind's eye, I'm like, he can go for another decade. You've seen his face. I mean, he's a young-looking guy. I mean, and you would think, but I'm sure that he sees his time coming to an end. But when he mentioned some of these high flyers, and you asked the question about some of these high flyers that's there, I mean, even he's got to be impressed.
Oh, 100%. I mean, so many of these guys and girls that we see in the ring now are based off of Rey. I mean, the Young Bucks talk about it. And Gabe reminded me, even before we did that interview, Rey was part of All In. Like, he was on that show. He was in that main event that, you know, they had to rush a little bit because of time management, but he was there. Like, he sort of had these career waves where he was at the top of the WWE game, left for a few years, and now comes back again, is doing the Hall of Fame, is getting to work with his son. Like, it really is one of the more remarkable careers, and everything he's accomplished is something that definitely is deserving of the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Before we move on, we want to let you guys know that for those of you that continue to watch Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday, we want to let you know that on Saturday and Sunday after WrestleMania, we'll have our special. So if you're looking to talk to someone about what happened at WrestleMania Saturday night and Sunday night, we'll be on live. Again, not just on Twitch, twitch.tv/Good Karma Wrestling, not just on the podcast, but also all of the Good Karma Twitter feeds will be on and to be able to talk to you. So as soon as WrestleMania is over, Saturday night and Sunday night, come right here where you're watching right now, where you're listening. Check us out. We'll be on live after WrestleMania from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, right here on Good Karma Wrestling. All right, let's move forward.
It's going to be late nights, but we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know what? I got the coffee brewing. I got something in the coffee to make sure that we can keep moving on these shows on Saturday and Sunday night. Got to have a little something.
Yeah,
some of these matches, I'm going to have to drink something because I got to be able to break down at some point Brock against Omos. So I've got to be able to have something stronger than just water.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see what the swerve is there, because I'm not going to believe it until I see it, that that is an actual WrestleMania match between those two.
It is a WrestleMania match and almost goes over.
Oh, God.
I'll put it out there right now. That's going to be a five-minute match, because if Brock's going to lose, he goes, just get me out of here.
I think five might be gracious.
I think there's going to be a quick match, and you got to get almost over. Get him over, pal. I think that's what's going to happen. So, all right, what else do we have for Good Karma Wrestling here on this Thursday?
All right, we'll get back to WrestleMania talk. We've got to talk AEW, of course. Another weekend, more AEW drama. CM Punk took to Instagram a week ago to call Chris Jericho a liar and a stooge. Also said Mox would not lose to him before their match at All Out. Mox on Renee's podcast refused to mention Punk by name. You also had the debut of AEW All Access last night, where Britt Baker openly criticizing Thunder Rosa not showing up to shows when she was injured, but doing other things. So the question is, does all this AEW drama impact you as a fan?
Okay, well, it impacts me to find out what Tony Khan's going to do about it. Mm. So you and I, and I believe Gabe did as well, listened to, is it Sessions with
Sessions
Renee?
With Renee, okay. Yeah.
Okay, it was called something different. It used to be Oral Sessions.
That it did, yes. And then she became part of the Volume family with Colin Coward, and I guess they sort of fine-tuned it a little bit.
Yeah, all right, so just Sessions. And so Renee talked to her husband, John Moxley,
uh-huh.
And I thought it was an interesting conversation, just some things that were head-scratchers, some things that Moxley said didn't make sense to me. But I guess, again, it's he said. When he talks about, like, hey...
Real quick, though, on that...
Yeah. Yeah.
Mox didn't actually like outright deny that he refused to lose to Punk. What he said was he was not under contract over the summer. And when they were talking about it, he was the one bending over backwards and doing Punk a favor, because technically Tony wasn't his boss in that situation. So if you read into it, like, he didn't outright say, no, I never refused that. He also didn't say Punk's name ever in that podcast.
Yes, he gave him a special nickname in that podcast. That is that is for sure. He also revealed that there was a time while he was in AEW that he could have walked right into SummerSlam.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, he said he had no contract. It was after the rehab stuff. His deal was over. He didn't want to commit long term because he wanted to prove to himself that he could wrestle sober. And that's when all the Punk stuff happened. And I think that just sort of speaks even more to what an MVP Mox is. Like, he did all that, didn't owe him a thing, and he still went out there and busted his ass for the company.
Well, my opinion has not changed on this, Broitz, and that is what the late Jerry Jarrett says. Jerry Jarrett, the great, wonderful promoter from Memphis, says that real issues draw money. Mm-hmm. There's a real issue here. And if Tony Khan cannot get CM Punk and Hangman Page and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in a room and to be able to negotiate this and put it in the ring, then this is all drama that's needless. If this is all for this AEW All Access show, that's nothing, because half the audience is not going to watch that. There are AEW fans. You've got to be able to find a way to put this in the ring. That's how you make money. I heard it might have been Dave Meltzer, or it might be someone of that ilk, that said that, well, this won't draw. Nobody can. Like, no. If you are able to make this out of a storyline, the storyline speaks for itself. Now, how do you put in? How do you put in the ring? One and two, who's going to get over? I think that people will be very interested in that, because it's a real issue. There are real behind the scenes issues. So I'm interested in it from that standpoint. The other thing is that, okay, Thunder Rosa, we know you're back in AEW. It's funny that Punk's still not out. It's still out, but yet Thunder Rosa is still doing Spanish commentary. Right. Okay, so let's go. Let's see Britt Baker against Thunder Rosa and have this out. This is a real issue. It should make some money.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Punk. Like, we talked about a lot after Brawl Out, where there was so much attention paid into that press conference. There was so much storytelling and different things that happened. All of that played out on social media. They didn't even mention Punk's name on Dynamite that Wednesday, and they still drew a good number. Mm-hmm. So that sort of shows the power of social media in that situation. And at this point, it's the same thing. Everyone is aware of the drama. Everyone knows what is going on there. Punk versus Mox, Punk versus Jericho, Punk versus Kenny and the Bucks, that draws money. Like, Wade Keller is saying the majority of the locker room does not want CM Punk there. So in terms of talking about how it impacts me as a fan, my only fear is if you say, hey, we need to draw this money, we need to make this money, you bring back Punk, you're desperate for that million on Wednesday, and all of a sudden people don't want to work for Tony, and all of a sudden people are jumping ship, and all of a sudden it's sort of the beginning of the end of AEW. That would worry me as a fan.
That's a really good point. But there's always conjecture. There's always threats. And so I don't know what's real and what's not. Like, could you imagine Tony says, okay, we've agreed to have CM Punk back. Is Hangman Page leaving, going back to the Indies?
Right.
Or is he waiting to get to WWE? Do the Young Bucks, who I believe will go to the WWE at some point because mm-hmm. Cody's there, will they say, you know what, I can't work with this guy? You got to choose what's best for the future of the company, right? And so my prediction was that CM Punk would go to ROH and get away from AEW and just be, I don't know if it's a coach. I don't think it's an in-ring because clearly the amount of injuries that CM Punk has had, he's more of an attraction than a week-in and week-out wrestler. So,
well, that's the important part because we talk about it a lot with sports, like the drama versus the talent level. Like, how much drama can you put up with? It depends on how talented you are. And if Punk getting injured every time he main events a show, he's not worth all this drama. Like, at this situation, he's better used in WWE where he could be a showcase and just sort of be a one off and, you know, not have to work house shows, but just show up once or twice a year and that'd be it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's where I think that he'd be best. And I know that he's read like Steve Kern's book and, you know, he talked about how there was an issue behind the scenes and he was inspired to come back to the business. But what's the way in? How do you get back in after all this drama that's taking place? And then just on top of that, just being practical. So what's the matchup if it's not going to be Hangman Page or Omega or the Young Bucks? Who do I want to see him wrestle? You got a dream match? Hobbs? I don't want to say Kingston. I don't know.
Starks.
Okay. Where's the heat? Like all those things.
No, there's no heat there.
Huh?
No, like you have to go with the heat. Like it has to be Punk and FTR versus the Elite. Like there is your money. Like I know they like to have the world title main events. That needs to main event a show. That needs a main event from Chicago. And, you know, FTR seems to be the only guys in that locker room that actually want him there. So maybe you just find a way to make it work. And that's the other weird part is like, I feel like we were getting away from Brawl Out. Everyone was coming back. Apparently, according to reports, he was getting healthy and getting close to being cleared to return. And then he posts that thing on Instagram and then deletes it also, which Jericho then responded posting a Matt Hardy delete gif. So it just doesn't make sense. Like if you're about to come back, everything's blowing over. Why dig another hole there?
You know, what's really interesting about the whole CM Punk thing, And we can go back through GKW_wrestling on Twitter, and I've retweeted a lot of these things. Just the shootish promos, Kingston going after Punk, Heyman going after Punk, like, you know, like MJF going after Punk. But I mean, like deep seated twisting the knife might be a lot of truth in what they were saying. And it's just like, wow, is it true that half the locker room doesn't want Punk around? But then you get FTR saying that Punk was very helpful to the young people and all that. And actually, you know what? Both things could be probably true.
Sure. Uh-huh.
That you might have been helpful to the young guys, but also a pain in the ass to some of the veterans.
Right. And that's the thing. Like maybe he's one of those guys just doesn't know how to bite his tongue. Because Mox also said on that podcast, he loves AEW, doesn't want to say anything negative, but there hasn't been a place he's ever been at with this much just drama and BS in the back. And you can tell how uncomfortable it made him. And he is the company guy. He's Mr. AEW. And he even says, like, oh, it's so stupid, all the drama back there. They've had their backstage issues. This has been a concern from the jump when they're bringing in all these guys. They're bringing in all these youngsters. They're like, how do they work? There's going to have to be people taking losses. You have guys sitting at home right now that don't want to work there. Like, this is a little concerning as a fan just because of what it might mean for the future.
Well, that starts at the top with Tony Khan. Yeah. And we have documented on this show a lot of weeks here on the show talking about the neophyte booker, the booker of the year, Tony Khan. You can put all these matches together, this guy against this guy and this woman against this woman. And Gabe, you can put all these matches together. But if you cannot control the egos in the room, you like one thing about Vince McMahon, what do you think about Vince?
Yep.
It was one guy you had to answer to. And Tony, for him, I mean, those press conferences tell you all you need to know, right? These press conferences where, you know, MJF can say what he wants to, and then you got CM Punk going off and shooting off. Okay, so how do you control that? You're the owner of the company. You're the head booker of the company. How do you control that? And so my whole thing is that when you have this situation happening right now, and Tony Khan, all he has for you is, we got a big announcement over here. Look at this shiny object over there. That does not help your locker room issue. And so Burrowitz is 100% right when he says All these issues are happening, but what is Tony Khan doing about it? This doesn't happen under Vince, but it does happen under Tony Khan and AEW.
Well, take a look at what Cody Rhodes just said in a recent interview about how he and Seth Rollins can't stand one another. Can't stand one another. But they put together a pretty good trilogy of matches before Cody blew out his pec, right? Like, they still have that trust with one another to be able to, because they're competing for that same spot with Roman, right? And I'm sure Seth isn't happy about, oh, this is the guy that was trying to put us out of business, was trying to put a thorn in our side. Now he's coming in here. He thinks he's going to take my spot. I'm sure that has something to do with it, of those two not getting along. But you didn't know it. You didn't need to know it. You know, the fact that Cody, like, I thought it was interesting that Cody mentioned it, but it's not like to the point where there's drama between them, you know, and now you have to have Mox talk about it. And Jericho on his podcast has talked about all the backstage BS and drama that's gone on at AEW. And look, there's going to be drama at any workplace. Yeah. And I hate comparing like everybody's workplace to like professional sports and professional wrestling in particular, but there's drama everywhere. It's about how you handle it. Yeah. And Tony Khan, to your point, Jay Hood, Tony Khan hasn't done anything to squash any of this. I mean, he sat by. He could have nipped CM Punk's before the brawl out. He could have nipped that right in the bud. But he just sat there and made, ooh, that's an interesting comment. Okay. You know, he just made those faces. And it just continues to build and build and build. And, you know, you see more. You see more of it come out, you know, whether we're talking about Sammy Guevara, whether we're talking about some other guys that have had issues backstage that have been leaked out. You know, Andrade, obviously, who we haven't seen on AEW television since he got in it with Sammy Guevara. Well, who the hell knows what's happening with Miro? Tony Khan has let the inmates run the asylum, and this is what happens when you do that.
100% right. And like to Jay Hood's point about in Vince's world, this doesn't happen. Some of the stuff we see on social media, Mox talked about, he's like, oh, like, you know, wrestlers an issue, they go tweet something and that's it. Like, there would be repercussions for that. Like, some of the stuff we see AEW talent tweet should not be allowed. Like, there should be repercussions to where CM Punk says, well, I work for this company, I probably shouldn't post this on Instagram. But instead, we're going to just do it willy-nilly. You're not going to get in trouble. You might get in a fight backstage that's going to get more attention. Like, you just need to find a way to sort of control it all right now.
It's kind of interesting the way this is working, though, guys, because on one end, it's all of this conjecture from the internet, from CM Punk, and you heard from John Moxley and his wife over here. In ring, though, you could tell that there's a difference in the company, not just the ring ropes. There's actually a difference in the company when you watch AEW, because you see that they're setting up the heavyweight championship, maybe a four-way coming up, but at least they're putting MJF in a different light. You're starting to see, I mean, somehow, some way, they've made Orange Cassidy like this workhorse champion.
He's the hottest wrestler in the biz, Jay Hood.
It's so ridiculous. But, so we talk about this drama over here, but in ring, the women is much better. Yep. The Blackpool Combat Club, I'm guaranteeing you their merch is going to go through the roof this week based on what we saw in St. Louis. It's just going to keep going through the roof. And of course, Brian Danielson he won't wear any of it.
Nope.
But just, I think it's
maybe
just
maybe now. Fantastic. Maybe now. I've got hope for now. I think it might happen now.
No. He's wearing what you're wearing now. That's what he wore in the ring.
Oh man, these hoodies are comfortable, man. I understand.
It doesn't say BCC on it though. It's just like some outcast. What's wrong with him?
Well, again, now that they're reunited as a group, it's the first time we've seen Danielson with the BCC. Maybe he'll start wearing the merch.
It's unbelievable, that guy. But yeah, I just think it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with this company in AEW. But it's up to Tony Khan. If you're doing it by yourself and you won't have Mark Henry and Arn Anderson and Dean Malenko and some of these other guys try to help you, and you want to do it by yourself, this is what happens.
Yeah,
no advice.
Exactly.
All right.
You've got plenty of people that can be your lieutenants and that are around. You mean Paul White.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, but between Paul White and Mark Henry, like, those are two pretty big, badass lieutenants you can have that can clean up a lot of this BS.
I've said too much. I'm sorry. I've said too much. Now I'm betraying trust, but I'll just let it go. But
all right. Okay.
I think it's pretty clear. What I'm saying, that's a problem.
We can move on then, because it is WrestleMania weekend, and we want to continue to talk about all things WrestleMania, going Hollywood, Saturday, Sunday, of course, the Hall of Fame tomorrow night as well.
Number two, 13 matches this weekend, 7 on Saturday, 6 on Sunday. What changes would you guys make to the WrestleMania card this weekend?
So I am under the assumption that Sami KO versus the Usos will not main event night two. Or excuse me, night one.
Night one.
Night one. So I would move that to night two.
So what do you think?
I would have
Charlotte Rhea is going to main event in that situation?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I think Charlotte Rhea is going to end up main event think that. So in that instance, I would have the Bloodline all in one night. I would put all the Bloodline and I would kind of continue some of the pressure of the entire Bloodline working. Because is Roman going to show up both nights? Like, is Roman going to be backstage doing little hits and little, you know, little things before that match about the Bloodline? I don't know, but I think it could be more
interesting. I mean, he'll be around because he's going to be on SmackDown tomorrow. So he's in town already.
No, I don't. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's WrestleMania. Like, what do you expect to see? One of these quiet vignettes with Heyman holding on to the championship behind a couch? I don't know.
I don't know what his schedule is.
He's not. That's not what that. No.
He might have to go to like the Lakers. The Lakers playing Saturday night. He might have to go to the Lakers game. I don't know.
I think the Usos and Zayn and Owen should end night one.
It should. I don't think it will.
I think. If the Bloodline is the number one storyline in the business, then they should be in the main event spots. That's what I think.
No, it's no brainer.
Yeah, but I mean, I know they won't do it that way, but that's the way that I would do it. Because if it is true that the Usos are going to – if they're going to lose the championships, that should be the last thing you see on night one for me.
The other thing I'll throw out there just as sort of a wild idea for that night one, could you see a main eventing with Rollins and Paul for the attention? Because remember, and Owens main event in night one last year.
Yeah, but that's stone cold, you know? And by the way, this is the last Logan Paul, and I don't know how much you can trust him, but Impulsive said that his contract is up after this. That this is his. And who knows? I mean, maybe he could sign an extension easily, but, right. You know, he must be on a certain number of match deal for the WWE, and they've used him quite a bit for some of these bigger shows. Yeah, I could see them going that direction. I personally would not go that direction, but I could definitely see it to try to get some attention with Logan Paul.
I have a real question. It's not a joking question. I have a real question. Hopefully. When it comes to Logan Paul, okay. Is he that big a deal that he should be the main event of any WrestleMania card? I mean, middle of the card, yes. And by the way, that match is going to be good. It's because it's Logan Paul. I mean, we've seen enough of him to say, okay, he can hold his own. But see, I guess I have like, you know, podcast and radio and television bandwidth. I have limited bandwidth where I've never heard Logan Paul do his show. I don't know. I know who he is, but is it big enough where Hollywood would be like, oh my God, Logan Paul? Because we've already seen this act once.
I just checked, just curious, Instagram. He's got over 25 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, he's a pretty big, I mean, he's not a big deal to like, our demographic,
right?
But you get younger than us, and I mean, Impulsive, the YouTube stuff, it's all very,
and especially in comparison. So, Roman has 7 million followers.
Okay, I just think in those terms, I always think McAfee, that you know, as far as his popularity, sure. But I guess Logan Paul, I guess clearly based on what you guys are telling me, this is a big deal. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't know which one's which. Like, I never remember the name Logan Paul. If I had it written down, I wouldn't know that it's Logan versus the other one whose name I'm blanking on now as I make this point.
Chris.
Like, is it? No. Okay. It's like, wait a minute. It's Chris. I don't think so.
Is that Chris Paul? No? Okay.
But that's the thing. Like, they get so much attention for everything they do that it's a big deal. And, like, you put them in the main event to end the show in L.A. You build up the buzz all night long, like, hey, this is happening. It seems like a WWE move, especially as we hear more and more about Vince being involved.
But I mean, I know it's night one, but I still have questions about whether I don't know. I still think that the celebrity should not be the main event of any night of WrestleMania.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
That's where I land. I'm okay with an actual former wrestler and one of the part-timers doing it, but going from a part-timer to now a part-timer who's also a celebrity and hasn't gone through the ranks that guys like Seth Rollins like KO, Sammy, even Bianca and Charlotte. I just don't like if they end up main eventing night one, that's going to leave a sour taste in my mouth because that's just a slap in the face to all the talent in the back.
And here's the thing. I don't want to hear give women a chance. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it because Charlotte and Rhea, if Rhea wins, okay, so if the three of us go to WrestleMania, mm-hmm. what would we rather see at the end? We would see the Usos, Zayn, and Owens, or Charlotte Flair and Ripley with Ripley going over. If Ripley goes over, we'd say, all right, that's night one. All right,
right.
So where's the Uber? Like, because like we expect that. And because Charlotte keeps losing this championship, it is Rhea's time. I think that she's been fantastic with this Judgment Day. I mean, she's the reason why the Dominic has gotten over as well. That combination's great. But Rhea and Charlotte at the end, yes, I believe it's going to be a 5-star match, but not to the point where I want to see that last. I think it should be on the card, sure. It could lead for me, but as a main event, no. Don't just put them in there and be like, well, you got to put the women's championship in there, pal. No, not really. No.
Sami Zayn has earned that spot. Sami Zayn has been the most over. I mean, this year, at the very least, and in these 3 months that we have had in 2023, the loudest pops in WWE have been Sami hitting Roman Reigns in the back with a steel chair. Any night that Sami showed up, I understand it's Montreal, but still, like, people were just eating out of the palm of his hand at Elimination Chamber. And then when those two hugged, those were the three largest pops, the biggest pops in WWE this year. Sami Zayn has the crowd eaten out of the palm of his hand. Sami Zayn deserves to be in the main event of one of these nights. And that's just period, end of sentence. Like, he has worked his ass off to be this, to be one of these guys, to be able to main event. And he absolutely deserves it.
Well, the other thing with that, and I don't know if they've ever learned from their lessons, but like, that moment of Sami and KO winning is going to be the pop of the night and is going to be something that can't be topped.
That's
so
correct.
If you put them in the middle of the card, everything after that will be below the moment of that. So you need to put it at the end. I think back to, because I was there, the Mania in Orlando when the Hardys returned. That was a ridiculous pop. Everyone was so excited to where the rest of the night, everyone's like, all right, yeah, that's great, but it's not up here. That's what it's going to be with Sami and KO.
Yeah, so I could, the way the WWE does things, if it's not going to be last where it should be, mm-hmm. or first, it'll be in the middle of the card, Usos, Zayn, and Owens, followed by Becky, Lydia, and Trish against Sky, Bayley, and Dakota. That's how they do it, because let me up, pal. Let me up, man. That's exactly what it'll be. That's how they do things. And then the women are like, well, how do we follow that?
Right, 100%.
How do we follow that? Well, you just have to, pal. That's how
you want to give women a chance? Don't put them on after that. Don't put anything on after that. Setting everybody up to fail.
Yep. And then they'll use that as an example, like, oh, see, the women can't get over. It's like, no, the crowd's exhausted. Like, no.
It's your fault. I think you should leave Sketch. The guy standing there in the hot dog costume, the hot dog car crashed in the store. We're trying to find the guy who did this.
Six women standing in a gorilla like, how the F do we follow that? What are we supposed to do? Get over, pal. Like, that. Okay, now you've minimized us because now the tag team championships have changed. So we'll see what happens, but I believe that they deserve the main event status. Anything else for night two, though, that we would change? Is it confirmed on what is night two, how that starts?
Yes, not how it starts, but that card on Sunday, we know it'll end with Roman versus Cody. Other matches that night, the Raw Women's title, Bianca versus Asuka. The IC title, Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. Hell in a Cell, Edge versus Finn Balor. Brock versus Omos, somehow still a thing. And then the Women's Showcase Tag Team match.
Brock Omos is going, if Brock Omos goes on first, we know Brock is losing, right?
Correct. Yeah, just like Cena's losing in night one. I'm out.
But Cena's, but they're actually still going to put together a match, right? Like, Cena's still going to do the match. Like, Brock is going to do one or two suplexes. I don't even know what Omos's finisher would be in this instance. He's going to eat that, get pinned, roll out of the ring, and get on the PJ.
That's the thing. I agree. I think Brock loses, but the other alternative is Brock tries the F5, drops Omos on his head, and the match just has to end that way. It's like, oops, and it just moves on with his night.
Oh, you mean stretcher job? You mean like the end?
Like he just can't get up, because that is a very large human being, so it would not be easy to lift him up.
I'll start with that.
But Brock Lesnar is the alpha male of our species. He can lift that man up over his head.
No.
This will be either way. This is going to be a quick match. Don't start night two with that nonsense. Don't do that. You want to bury them.
You want to put the women's title match. Can open.
Semi-main. Go ahead.
Ugh.
I'd go triple threat first. IC first. I think that sets a good tone.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
Bianca is another one that deserves a moment, though. Like, she was so hot, and like, this feud is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Bianca's had a couple of WrestleMania. Bianca's had some moments on this run, you know? I mean, she got the main event with Sasha Banks.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, part of this run. She's gotten showcase events with Becky Lynch. Like, she has been showcased, I think, and had a lot of spotlight shown on her. It's a nothing feud. I don't know what to do with it. It's right. going to be a good match, but it's a nothing feud that hasn't had good build, and I don't know where you put that in the card.
You know, every time I bring this up, you two go silent on me when I talk about Bianca Belair. I don't know why you two won't. You just don't say anything or just move on. I'm asking you. I'll ask again. Is there anything else that you want to see from Bianca Belair? Because I would say if there's another gear to her game, put her first. But I just think that Asuka's going to run circles around her. It doesn't mean that Bianca's bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that do you think that you've seen anything new from Bianca over the last 12 months?
So to me, no. When I look at Bianca, no, like she's Cena. Like yeah. She is a face of the company. She can go, but no, she's not going to be Brian, Punk, Kenny, who can give you a 5-star match with a broomstick. So like, okay. I think with Asuka, with the right opponent, like it'll be a good match.
So you're saying she is what she is?
Yeah. And it'll be a good match with Asuka. Like she works through all of her competition.
She is what she is. For her, it means she's a superstar.
Yeah.
Okay, she's a superstar. All right, fine.
Like, so, no, what? Like, who's so better? Like, again, like, she's been the face of that women's division for the last 12 months. Has she not?
Is she a WWE superstar? Is she Daniel Garcia? What kind of superstar are you talking about here?
I should have said superstar because, yes, that is the WWE term. But she's.
What kind of superstar? She a sports entertainer? She certainly is that.
No, yeah. she's the top of the card of the women's division right now. And has been for the last 12 months.
CJ Taylor weighs in on YouTube and says it should have been Bianca and Rhea. I agree with that. That would push Bianca. And that,
yes.
I don't want to see
like, my guess is that's next year. My guess is so Bianca drops this title and now she can chase Rhea for a year and it pays off at Mania next year. You're tired of her because she's a baby face that's been on top for the last 12 months. There are only so many interesting stories you can tell with a baby face once they get to the top of the mountain. The payoff and the money for the baby faces is always about the chase. And I guarantee this time next year, we'll be sitting here raving about Bianca because she's going to be in a chase for that championship, potentially with Rhea.
Gabe's a genius because he just laid out 12 months after WrestleMania, Bianca against Rhea. Actually, Bianca chasing... I think that can elevate your game. When you're a champion, you get kind of comfortable like Jade Cargill. I would just say that her chasing, I think that'd actually be pretty good. I think I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, like we talk about this title run, like it's had good matches. I just have to look it up. Like Sunday marks a year of her as the champ.
Yep.
So yeah, it sort of have run its course. And I mean, the other thing in terms of changes just overall, like one, I think one night is fine, but like, just give us some wrestling matches. Like, we've accepted that WrestleMania is not for us. It's not for the hardcore fan. It's for the casual. But give some of these matches sometimes, notably the tag title match. Like, let them go. Let them prove that they are the stars of the company as opposed to saying, hey, 10 minutes and here we go.
Well, with only having six matches on night two, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to have a long match.
Edge and Finn Balor?
Yeah. I guess.
That's going to be – I don't know what we're getting. We're getting the demon? We're getting the demon, it won't be as good. regular Finn. I like the prince. That's good enough for me.
We're getting the demon and potentially Gangrel as part of the entrance for Edge.
Yes.
Oh, I heard like Christian's might be there. Did you read that?
No.
You guys didn't read that?
I did not read that. However, I have noticed his absence on AEW – and I have put two and two together in my own head. Yes.
So this is like the TNA WWE trade where Ric Flair was in TNA for God's sakes, and they're like, we need him for the Hall of Fame, pal. We got to put him in with I guess Was it with the horseman?
Horseman,
with the horseman.
And Dixie Carter has a choice to take anybody off the roster. Who should I take? I really like not the Undertaker. No, not this guy. Not this one. Christian. So what's going to happen now?
What?
Does Tony make the deal? I heard that Christian will be part of the brood, that he would show up. So who should Tony take off the WWE roster? I don't know. Ali?
Dolph! Free Dolph!
Yeah!
That's the answer. Him and Hollywood Hunk. Tag team
together. Oh, the Nemeth boys! There you go.
Let's go. There we go. Now we got our thinking caps on. It's Mania Week, damn it. Outstanding.
Ryan, finally sticking with WrestleMania. Seems to be an almost predictable card. So which result is more likely this weekend? Roman retains on Sunday or the Usos retain on Saturday?
I'm going to say Roman.
Yep, I agree. Right. The Usos, if we keep... This is why this story has been so tremendous. And I've not gotten tired at all of this bloodline thing. Mm-hmm. You would think that after 2 years of this, you're like, God, it's gotten so stale. No, breadcrumbs. Every little thing, they're just trying to show you something. They're telling you, you know, this bloodline thing's going to break up. Cody said in the promo, like, you know, Solo's going to do his own thing because his name's Solo. And the Usos are going to break up and do their thing. And Roman is going to be you and Heyman. And then Mr. Heyman's going to leave. You know what, guys? I think that the Usos are going to lose those tag team championships, and that'll be the start, the beginning of the end of the bloodline.
Yes, that makes sense. But I just feel like with them, like the Sammy thing, we've talked about it a lot. Like, it just feels like such a letdown. Like, is there something to not doing it? Obviously, like, you talk about predictable. Like, it feels like predictable KO turning on Sammy at one point. Like, do they go that route and like let the Usos? So the Usos have been champs for 620 days. Roman's at 942. Is there a way to keep the Usos going?
What if you go the other way and Sammy turns on KO?
Ooh.
And then what?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll go back to the bloodline.
Like, no, they're winning. Like they're winning. They're going over. Period. And like.
No, you got to write it, Vince Russo. Don't give me the idea. Don't give me anything for the next 6 months. Bro, I got a great idea, bro.
I didn't say it was a great idea. I just pitched it as a counter to him saying KO turned on Sammy. What if Sammy turned on KO just the other way around? Which I don't think happens. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. All right? I should have kept my mouth shut. Shouldn't have said anything. But here we are. I'm going to move past it. Why aren't you?
No, I thought it was interesting. I just wanted more. It was a great story.
I don't know.
Sammy turns.
Help. Hold on. I'm tagging out. Sammy turns on KO. They lose. I'm tagging in you, Jay Hood.
Now Ric Flair's a booker.
And Derek Brewer says he gets his honorary Oos status back. There you go.
And then what?
I mean, they need something to do with Solo. He figured out something there.
I thought Solo wasn't ready. I think he was fine on Raw, actually. It was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
It was good. I think the more I think about this, not with Sammy. I'm moving past Sammy. I'm not cashing in on Sammy.
Come on!
I'm cashing in. It's a different idea. Bro, different idea.
Great story, bro. Here's what happens, bro.
Sammy
turns on KO. Yeah, what else happens? I don't know, but it's great, bro. That's Vince Russo.
I'm going to come out in a motorcycle wearing a Barry Bonds jersey, all right? Like, after that, I don't know what's going to happen.
They're going to tell the MFing house down, Jeff Jarrett, Booker T. What?
But the more I think about this, the more I want to see Cody chase after it. Like, I know he keeps saying finish the story, but much like we were just talking about, Bianca has kind of run her course as, you know, the white meat baby face and just this, the John Cena type of the women's division. And she kind of needs to get knocked down a peg, maybe bottom out a little bit, and then go on that chase to get us to her versus potentially Rhea next year, which, again, two of your younger superstars, I think that'd be fantastic. But the more I think, I want to see Cody chase more, because I don't know what stories you tell with him as champ, because it's all about him getting that championship. I don't know what happens after that. So if we're going to end the bloodline, I feel like the bloodline needs to be ending from within. And I think it's Jay.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to Jay. Jay is the one who fought against Roman at the beginning of this. They put on banger matches, and you thought for a second maybe Jay would beat him. Obviously, he didn't. Then he joined him. I think if Sammy and KO can beat the Usos, Sammy continues to be that ear. He just continues to be that earworm. Hey, I acknowledge you. You're the guy. You can do it. And I think eventually maybe Jay does it. That's the route I would go. They're probably still going to end up putting Cody Rhodes over, but I think Cody chasing is still, there's still money to be made in Cody chasing.
And I think also to that point, there's more to Roman as champion. We talk about Bianca a year as champion, sort of being like, all right, we've sort of seen everything. With Roman, we really haven't. Like, I looked it up again today. I know we talked about it on the show. Since winning the title at Mania last year on TV or pay-per-views, Roman has defended that title 6 times in 1 year. So, like, there's still, like, that specialty that when he is in the ring that I feel like there's still more to it.
I don't care about it, as someone who is a half-ass historian for this stuff, I'm not into, like, the 1,000 days of him being champion because he'll never reach Bruno. But I love that Gabe gave me this idea, gave us the show the idea, like, what happened in the Bruno-Pedro era was, like, the AFL. And that's because Bruno was so dominant because he only had to wrestle in 4 states.
Right.
it's like New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and I want to say like maybe D.C. I think that's about it. Like that's his reign of whatever, 1,200 days of champion or whatever. But for Roman, I'm not into the amount of days that he's champion. And I said this for weeks. If Cody wins, does that sound good? Say it out loud. Cody Rhodes beats Roman Reigns after Roman beat all these other guys. We show that Cody is the guy. Are we convinced that he could beat him one on one? Does that look like with Crossroads?
I mean, it plays to the fans though. Like that younger demographic, he is over. Like we were worried about whether the crowd would turn on him because of Sammy, but like they haven't. He is over. It'll be a Mania moment. You know, the Frays are going to beat to death this weekend. And it is a way to end, like with the confetti, you know, the boyhood dream has been achieved. Like there is something to the WWE aspect of it all.
So Derek Brewer says that Roman has been great, but it would be nice to have a full-time champ for a while. Has Roman put out a new path for this WWE championship or the undisputed champion? Like Cody wins. He rolling out every week on Raw defending the title? Don't think so.
He's going to be out there every week though.
But Roman still has a presence. Again, the beauty of Roman's part-time schedule is all the other things that happen around it with the bloodline. When Brock was on his part-time schedule, like not even Heyman was showing up every week, right? Like Heyman would be absent at times because Heyman's got other stuff that he does as well. So with the bloodline, the beauty of it to me has been, okay, Roman's not there. Oh, but Sammy and Jay are. Oh, and Solo's there. Oh, and Heyman just got a call and just said, hey, your tribal chief said this. Like right. there was still a presence of the bloodline and the dominant force of WWE on the show. Whereas when Brock was the part-time champ, like again, sometimes even you know, Paul Heyman wouldn't be there. And it's different when it's just Paul or when it's Paul, the Usos, Sam, you know, for the better part of the last year, Sammy and Solo, like having a combination of all those people there and just having this constant presence, I think was able to kind of cover up, you know, not having the champ actually there because he was represented very well.
Yep.
But that's where I come down on that. Ultimately, I guess let's just go ahead and make the prediction. Do we think that the bloodline loses all their championships this week?
I think the tag team champions lose their championship. I'm not sure that Cody wins on night two.
I think they drop them.
I asked you for a prediction, Hood. I didn't ask you for a wishy-washy, I don't think.
Oh, I think the Usos lose their championships. I think one of them is. Is that okay. Stronger?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's
period.
I think they both drop, and I think at the end of Mania, we're like, all right, it was a good show, but like there's no like surprises. Like, what's I don't know. Like, to me, the Cody thing's not connecting, but I think everyone drops them this weekend.
But again, the overarching point is, like, if it's not Cody, who?
Oh, correct. And that's to the point, Roman retaining gets you a few more months out of this storyline. Cody winning, Who the hell's next for him?
Yes, and then of course the other question to that, Gabe, is Cody wins. Is he really the guy?
Right.
Is he the guy, or is this a Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, Bray Wyatt heavyweight champion?
I guess it depends upon if they have any special surprises for the Raw after Mania.
Hopefully.
Yep. Which
Jay White.
Okay, there's no way Cody's winning. Cause I can't even fantasy book Jay White versus Cody Rhodes in WWE in 2023. Sorry.
What world are you living in? With Vince back there just hanging out. Of course, not booking. He's just there. He enjoys catering. Like, come on.
Jay who?
Right. Exactly.
Change it to Jay Purple. And there we go. That's the gimmick change.
Seriously. So
what do we got in news and notes, Brian?
All right, a full weekend of wrestling will start tomorrow night, or I guess continue everything we've had this week. SmackDown live from LA, and as soon as that ends, the WWE Hall of Fame live on Peacock. This year's class, the guy we talked to earlier, Rey Mysterio Jr., the great Muda, Andy Kaufman, Stacy Keibler, and Tim White will receive the Warrior Award.
Ooh, worst class ever.
Did they forget they had a Hall of Fame?
I feel like Triple H, I think it's stuck up on Triple H. That's what I feel. I get all this stuff to do. And it's like, Paul? Yeah. Hall of Fame?
Oh, we already sold tickets. Like,
okay. Stacy? Mooter?
It kind of feels like a panic move having Ray go in. Like, obviously, Ray deserves to go in. Obviously, right. Ray deserves to be in. Ray deserves to be one of the headliners when he goes in. His career has been that good. He's still involved in a main storyline. Right. When was the last time that happened? That like a guy who has been a part of one of the actual stories you bothered to tell going into WrestleMania is going into the Hall of Fame. And now, oh, by the way, it's not a retirement match like they did with Kurt Angle. No, this is he's going to continue to wrestle after that.
I can confirm that this is a Triple H Hall of Fame. Has to be. Conan's putting in Ray? That would never happen under Vince. Like, Andy Kaufman. Okay, so we got Andy Kaufman and Tim White. So we got two people are dead going in the Hall of Fame. I guess the headliner's Ray, right?
Yeah, two of the five, by the way. It's a five-person class, and two are no longer with us.
That would never happen under Vince. You get one dead person, one minority. Where's the minority? You get the one minority. I guess that's Ray, right?
That's Ray.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and Muda. You got two minorities.
Yeah, I mean.
And Muda. At least the WWE's not being racist like the pay-per-view they did for Muda.
Yes. Yes.
They're not wishing the great Muda bye-bye. Like, no. At least they're not doing that.
Very odd name for Muda's last match. Very odd. Very uncomfortable.
Yes, 100%. I did not like it.
I did not. No, this is totally Triple H, right? Totally Triple H. And it's, we talked about it in weeks prior. There are plenty of names to put in there. Plenty.
Yes. But
this is why I can't wait for the documentary for this, because this is all jumbled to me. This is supposed to be the Bautista Hall of Fame. And Dave's like, nah, I'm good. See you in Philly. Seriously, like this is he's supposed to be the headliner for this. It's LA, right? And then you bring Andy Kaufman, that's 25 years in the past. He should have been like Jerry Lawler brings him up every year. And it's like, even I have to look back. Oh, that's right, Andy Kaufman, David Letterman. But it's so far, it's so odd that he's not just put in kind of on the side posthumously. I just think that that's weird. So, this is all a Triple H Hall of Fame.
And it's very sort of disappointing. Like, Hall of Fame used to honestly be one of my favorite events of the weekend. Like, it's fun hearing all those guys. Last year, I think Taker might still be talking about his induction. But, like, this just seems like thrown together. It's like, all right, I guess we'll do something Friday night.
Tim White. I mean,
yeah. So that's tomorrow night. Last night, by the way, AEW Dynamite, 833,000. The main event saw Adam Cole return to the ring to beat Daniel Garcia. We also saw Bryan Danielson sort of turn heel. I mean, he's been coming out of the heel locker room since the group started, but he attacked Kenny Omega with the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah, he's fully heel now because, you know, he pretended to be the babyface and then attacked him, flexed while he had him in the submission hold. You know, very, very, very heelish behavior out of Bryan Danielson. I'm a little surprised by that number. I thought the show was pretty solid last night. I enjoyed it. I thought the match that preceded that with our boy Jeff Cobb was good. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, shout out to friend of program. Maybe he's in the web, you know, in the waiting room, you know, waiting for us to ask him some more questions. I'm sure Jay Hood has.
Yep.
But I thought that match was good. I thought the return of Adam Cole would have a lot of people intrigued, but I guess I was wrong.
It's fine. As I always say, you can get people to watch on a Wednesday night and sit down for 2 hours. Good for you. Good for you. Like, it's fine. I just thought that a couple of things stood out. The Blackpool Combat Club, I don't know what's happening with this bloodline. We feel like it's going to break up, but this BCC, in this trajectory, man, they're going to be the hottest faction going. I mean, that just keep beating
and up. And still no vacation for Mox.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, technically, it wasn't vacation. Technically, he wasn't going to be under contract, and that's why he was supposed to be gone, as we found out in the interview he did with his wife on the Sessions podcast this week, which is just wild. Just wild. Like, I mean, I know you – and obviously you can trust Mox, yeah, right? Like, and that's why – no, you're saying you can't trust Mox.
Yeah, no, you can't trust him because he's putting over Marina Shafir.
Yeah, he's a big fan of hers, apparently. Yeah, also reports out that he was not supposed to bust open Don Callis the way he did.
Yes, well, no, Don went up open the hard way.
Yeah.
I think Don oversold, cool. Don oversold and dove into a TV brace, it looked like, yes, a TV stand.
That's bad because that was legit. He had to stay back and say, yes, losing stitches. That's, these guys just don't know how to bleed. It's amazing. They hit gushers.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to just cut yourself a little bit right here in the hairline, a little bit of blood, not just arteries.
Stop. Well, I think Callis oversold and hit, like, cause the TV was right there and he was on a stand. I think he came down and hit the TV stand trying to oversell the elbow.
I just think the BCC has been fantastic. I think it's great.
I wonder if this was the original plan for the group. I just wonder is what originally what they wanted to do, because they were building, they had momentum, they had, you know, the two of them together wanting to, okay, now we've got Claudio, now we've got Wheeler Yuta and Danielson and Mox could kind of start to build something. I wonder if this was the original plan for them to go more heel, but Mox had to stay babyface when they decided to put the championship on him at Forbidden Door last year after the initial CM Punk injury.
The one thing I will say, though, is as we get these 800,000s and they become more of a regular thing, I hope Tony can stay patient, because that's the one thing we all agree on. Like, there's been good storytelling. They're not rushing into anything. They're just sort of building up to the next show. But if he panics and all of a sudden, like, oh, we got to break him up or we got to do this, like, just stay patient. 800's fine. Like, it'll pay off in the end.
Well, but it's close to 900. Was it, what did you say, 880?
No, 833.
833.
Oh, damn.
That's still not a bad number.
It's not a bad number, but it's worse than what I thought it was.
I'm still laughing at him talking about Shafir. It's like, the reason why she's gotten over is because, well, you know, she's barefoot and people look at her feet, you know? Because...
Well, no, not people, him. That's what he noticed. Yes. He noticed her. Yes. He noticed, because we're pretty diehard wrestling fans.
Yeah.
I don't know what good footwork for a professional wrestler looks like, right? Like, I don't know what good footwork looks like. I could probably tell you what bad footwork looks like because it ends up being bad, but I don't know what, like, technical, really good, you know, footwork looks like.
You know what it looks like, and it doesn't look like that.
Marina Shafir. Well, I haven't, you know what? I haven't seen Marina Shafir wrestle in a while, but we'll get the pleasure of watching her tomorrow night on Rampage as she goes up against Tyra Valkyrie.
No, we will not.
Look at her feet, everyone. Mox likes her feet.
I mean, her feet, man. I mean, people watch her feet and, like, it's like, what are you talking about?
That is odd. Other wrestling shows in the LA area this weekend around WrestleMania starts tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern on the Fight app. New Japan and Impact, their multiverse show, one of the top matches there. Speedball Mike Bailey takes on Tanahashi.
Would you like to see that, Broitz?
Yeah, they've already got my money for that one. So, tonight.
he's like all the ones he's about to mention. There's a 95% chance that Fight already has Rhodes' money for it. That's why he's mentioning it, because he may bring it up next week.
These notes are only the major companies. New Japan there. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, BR Live. You got to go to a lot of different places here.
I'll be watching that. I'll do a separate podcast for that.
That will be a good one. Claudio versus Eddie Kingston, ROH title. Samoa Joe versus Mark Briscoe, TV title. Vikingo versus Kamanda.
Thank you. It AAA took you long enough to get there to the actual main event. Vikingo's wrestling. I'm all in. You missed this last week, Jay Hood. We have a new best wrestler in the world, and it's Vikingo.
You can't change.
I did send you. I haven't watched it yet, but him versus Phoenix in Espanol. I found that link on YouTube.
Oh, could you send that over, please?
Yeah, I think it's in our group. Yeah. If you want to watch him tonight, Gabe, starting an hour ago, but it's probably the main event, him, Black Taurus, and Commander in a triple threat match, highspots.tv. And the final sort of main company, NXT Stand Deliver, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern on Peacock. Braun Breaker versus Carmelo Hayes for the NXT title. Dragon Lee makes his debut in a fatal five-way. And Ava Rain, a.k.a. the Daughter of the Rock, makes her in-ring debut.
Vikingo wrestling there? No?
No, I don't think so.
Way too advanced. Way too advanced for that company.
That is okay. True.
Okay, so let's just make a pact here.
Okay.
I will watch Ring of Honor and do a separate podcast on that from where are they going to be? Galen Center in Los Angeles? I think.
Yeah, on the USC campus.
Okay. So I'll watch that, do a separate podcast. Okay. What are you watching? What are you offering, bro? It's
I have way too many on there, but whatever you want, I got it. The Hancock Memorial Show, GCW, I'll watch NXT. It's going to be a very long weekend. My apologies to my family.
Yeah, I have on my phone a Jushi Pro. You interested?
Maybe not.
Okay. Well, I have it here. So it's like, okay. So at least we got that, got those two. And so Gabe, you're our in charge.
I got to find one.
NXT.
Damn it.
Well, you can't tell us about
Noob Central. It's an easy one.
Yeah. You know, and we do get Ava. Like, I am curious to see what happens with Ava.
And okay, you get Dragon Lee.
So you can't BS us now. You have to give us, cause I'm not watching it. I got ROH. This guy's got the little bar shows in Iowa. Uh-huh. And so now you've got to come through because I think you should watch, because if there's going to be surprise after WrestleMania, I think Breaker might come through. Or Carmelo Hayes might be on the main roster. And I don't know.
Someone in the comments said they're watching Bloodsport right now. So we got plenty of stuff going on this weekend.
Oh, God. That's going on now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So Fight, High Spots TV, Peacock, Bleacher Report. You want wrestling, you'll find it. Hey, tweet us some more shows. There's more shows streaming. Some of us will watch it.
Yeah. So, but Gabe, you got to watch NXT.
Yep. I got NXT. And I said last week, no, I'm curious to see Ava. I want to see what The Rock's daughter can do in the ring.
It's NXT, and the subtitle to that is NXT subtitle, Shawn Michaels' whole life played out through the wrestling. Apparently that's what it is, right? So maybe I think one of these wrestlers at some point is just going to faint at some point in the ring out of nowhere because he's
Roxanne Perez did that last or 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. So that's already happened. So we got a fainting wrestler because drug addled. Okay, so we got that. Do we have the 18 sailors beating up Sean?
I don't think we've had that one yet.
We haven't had that yet. Like
the 18 Marines beating up Sean. Okay, do we have that? Okay, do we have him? You know, having the windshield wipers to get Sergeant Slaughter's spittle off of his face when they were in Lowell, Massachusetts. We have that.
The other thing, by the way, we will have on that show, Johnny Gargano's WrestleMania moment. He's taking on Grayson Waller on that NXT show Saturday.
Oh.
Yep.
Derek with a great point. Braun about to lose his smile.
Yeah, so that means, we're going to get a new champion here, right?
Yes, Carmelo Hayes deserves it. Carmelo Hayes is that guy.
Okay.
Unless they keep it on Braun and call up Carmelo.
Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know the, you know, so but you'll report it. You'll let us know.
Yep. I'll give you the goods on Stand and Deliver.
God.
I'm ready.
That's horrible.
I'm ready. I'm standing.
Standing and delivering for Shawn Michaels and his life played out in front of your very eyes. Here's me with a blonde and she's putting on lipstick while I'm watching her. That's the thing.
And hey, Pacific time. So for better or worse in terms of some of these card start times this weekend.
All right. Well, so plenty of things again. Tweet at us. I'm sure we'll give plenty of reviews on all these side shows. We might have to do a side show. We'll figure it out. But what did you guys have as your match of the week?
I don't know.
You didn't have any Ring of Honor last that you wanted for us?
No. You know what? Skipped it. How about that? Skipped it. Wow. Busy week.
What?
I did not watch it. No. Week behind. But that's okay, though. I got my ROH show coming up tomorrow.
That you do. I mean, for me, I don't think there was like an overwhelming one, but I did enjoy Friday, Gunther and Butch.
Sure. Who might be becoming Pete Dunne again.
But
he might
in NXT his names back. Is the report. Sending him back to NXT to be Pete Dunne.
Why?
I don't know. It's the early reports right now.
Now he's the fan from the baseball. He's got his thumbs down. He has his thumb down now. He's the bearded man. His thumbs down. What? I mean, so what's wrong with Pete Dunne being on the main roster? Like,
they don't want to confuse people. If he changes his name, you got to go rebrand him to bring him back up.
He's so much better than anybody on the NXT
brand.
He's
so good.
So like, I don't.
What's he going to do? Wrestle circles around everybody on the roster? Like, just make it obvious he's not there? Like, okay, I guess we got to send Johnny back down because somebody's got to be able to match him. Like, what are we doing? Like,
yep.
This is why that's why that company is only based on six wrestlers and everybody else is just filler.
Yep.
So Becky EO was pretty good on Monday Night Raw. Again, didn't super stand out, but I thought it was a good solid match. It was probably the best thing I saw in Raw. And Jeff Cobb, like the big man, delivered yesterday. He hasn't gotten a big opportunity. We joke about how he was one of our first interviews here on GKW. And we joke about questions because if you go back and listen to it, if you download GKW, I'm ready to let him go. Jay Hood made a joke about having more questions. And Jeff Cobb was like, yeah, I got time. Since like Jeff Cobb was ready to hang out with us. So we love Jeff Cobb forever on this program. Yep. He is our guy. We stand for him. But he had a great match with Kenny. He really held his own. Obviously, he wasn't going to win, but he held his own. And I was very entertained by that match last night.
I guess if there was going to be one, I guess it would be that match. I mean, it's Kenny Omega. Different music, by the way. Went back to his old school music. It was out there by himself against Jeff Cobb. But nothing really resonated with me where it's like, wow, that's an amazing match. SmackDown's fine. Raw's fine. Mm-hmm. At these go-home shows going to Los Angeles, it was fine.
I mean, Raw was fine, but there were a lot of like promos and pre-tape segments, which, by the way, like, and I saw somebody on Twitter complaining about, man, back in the day, because the Stone Cold beer truck and giving him the beer bath was a Raw before Mania. Like, it was a big angle. They're not doing that anymore. Like, WrestleMania is just too big now. Like, you cannot risk. Like, I was surprised they let Cody go.
Yeah.
I was surprised they let Cody wrestle on the Monday before Mania.
But the annoying part is all those video packages they aired Monday, we're going to see again Saturday and Sunday.
Sure. But, like, they're just being extra careful. And, again, I'm surprised they let Cody go because if he suffers an injury, what the hell are you going to do with your main event a week out, right? So they're just being extra careful with all these guys and gals and not necessarily letting them go all that hard. So they're not going to be putting banger after banger out there.
And also, by the way, our guy Jeff Cobb tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern, that Impact New Japan show, him versus Moose on that show.
Oh. Meaty men slapping meat.
Moose. God, I actually Moose Lesnar would be a better match. Actually, Moose actually can go. He actually is pretty good. Yeah.
So can Jeff Cobb. We were just singing Jeff Cobb's praises.
Yeah,
I trust Jeff Cobb in that situation.
Oh no, Jeff! Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Jeff Cobb. I think that was my match of the week because everything else was just okay.
Yeah,
not solid, bad. Yeah. So I just think first of all. It's just going to be a celebration for all of us wrestling fans because, man, not just the main, but it's the independent workers. We're going to see wrestlers wrestling four or five times in this weekend to be able to make a payday, and I think that's awesome. One other thing, one quick note about Mark Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this? Mark Briscoe does not mind being in trios matches or singles. I think he's done with tag team wrestling.
Wow.
That's the report, where it's like, I don't have my brother, so... Why should I be in another tag team? So
I respect it.
I think that's something I read, and I think that's very likely for him. We'll see.
Speaking of Mark, check him out on Hey EW with RJ City. Quite entertaining. Just throwing that one out there.
RJ City, what a goof.
Yep.
An absolute goof. Like,
so you have him and Mark Briscoe. You know how those two men are. And then go with it.
I saw him in the pre-show, the last pay-per-view for AEW. I'm like, what is this?
The greatest pre-show ever.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
There you have it. Don't forget, tune in wherever you get us, whether you download us through your favorite podcast app, whether you watch us live or watch us back on at ESPN 1000, ESPN Cleveland, Los Angeles, Madison, Milwaukee, New York, or LA, West Palm.
Beaverdam.
ESPN BD. We are doing live shows after WrestleMania, both on Saturday and Sunday. So you're gonna be up. You're gonna be jacked up. You're gonna be excited. You're gonna wanna hear more about what you just saw, and we're gonna be talking about it Saturday and Sunday, right here on GKW. Enjoy WrestleMania week, everybody. It's gonna be a fun one.